بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In several ahadith, this question is repeated. أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلُ Which deed is superior? Some hadith say, الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا Perform namaz on its right time. And some hadith say, Al-jihadu fi sabilillah, striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And the safe route is to go with the explanations of those that are expert in that science. They have given their life, they have given their blood, they have given their time. What do they say? They give about three explanations to this. One explanation is, sometimes the person that is in question in respect to you, the best thing is namaz. In respect to this person, the best thing is jihad. So in respect to the questioner, the answer has been given. Sometimes it is the circumstance and the time. Like for example, if Allah Pak forbid the starvation constraints, and someone were to ask you, what's better, if I go for Umrah or I help those people that are in starvation, poverty and constraints? So you will say, obviously those people that are in constraints, it's better to serve them than to go out for nafil Umrah. So sometimes, subject to the circumstance and the situation that you are in. Then the third answer that is given, those that say that namaz is the better or the best deed, in support of their answer that namaz is the best, they say that jihad is not an end in its own. Right. But namaz, it's an end. And the proof for that, الَّذِينَ إِمَّكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ If we establish authority for them, then will they establish namaz? So that means, the striving was a means to the end. It wasn't the end, it was a means to the end. What is the end? Establishing of namaz. Right. So I say it's better, a precautionary measure is to go with these people that have dedicated their lives, they have given their blood, etc. So go with their explanation, will be right. Unfortunately, we are at a time where the hadith says, اِعْجَابُ كُلِّ ذِي رَأِيٍ بِرَأِيهِ Everybody's become self-opinionated. To be able to give a right explanation to a hadith, you need to have that expertise. So much of know-how, overview of the hadith. Then you give an explanation, inshallah you're on the mark. But if personal knowledge is not so comprehensive, then he's taking a shot in the dark. See? And this taking a shot in the dark really is kuffar mentality. إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنِّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُسُونَ As this verse of the Quran Sharif says, taking a shot in the dark, it's a kuffar mentality. What they do? It's guesswork and speculation. It's not a Muslim's thinking. Muslim will go by yaqeen. He's sure of the facts. He will investigate the facts and then he'll come to some conclusion, some closure, some conclusion, some finality. But taking a shot in the dark, guessing, speculation, that's not Muslim mentality. It's something that's alien to Islam, it's alien to Deen. Now you look at namaz, then I say namaz is an end in its own. And overall, this namaz is like a key. It's a solution to all situations, problems, difficulties. It's a solution, the key to your problems. It's a solution to your problems. There's no rain and there's drought, then go and make istisqa namaz. There is a sunnah eclipse or a lunar eclipse, go and make kusuf, salatul kusuf, right? You're doing a marriage proposal, or you're deliberating on a business, and make istikhara salah. See that? It's a solution for all your problems, all your difficulties, and it's a solution. Then you got some zarurat, hajat, then make salatul hajat. Do you see that? And these are all recommended practices. Salatul istikhara, salatul hajat, salatul istisqa, salatul kusuf. Then, إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزِيَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he's confronted with any situation, now just now we had a storm, right? Between Asr and Maghrib there was a severe storm, right? So, حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزِيَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Again, then the first recourse was namaz. Very seldom we see people practicing this sunnah. The storm, storm. So, but practicing and conforming to this sunnah, that when there's a storm, hurricane, something that's frightening, right? Something that's a new development, fighting, then faziya ila salah. In fact, one is a thing that is frightening, and one is an occasion of happiness. Allah Pak has favored you in some way. Then salatu shukr. So at the time of difficulty, then you are asking Allah Ta'ala, you're begging Allah Ta'ala's help. At the time that Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with some great favor, then salatu shukr. So you see, this salah is like a solution. Any problem, any difficulty, it's a comprehensive plan. Anything. But a comprehensive solution for all problems. Thereafter, after you have done your namaz, you ask Allah Ta'ala, then you follow procedure. If the person needs to be hospitalized, you hospitalized him. If you need to assist a person, then you assist him. But then the first recourse, the first encounter is beg Allah Ta'ala. Your allegiance is with him. It's the first stop. He is the maker of all things. So give him the respect. Now, if we don't give Allah Ta'ala that respect, we do everything else, and then in that we say, or do rakat namaz bi parlo, do everything else, and just read two rakat namaz also. So that means, as though Allah Ta'ala also was part of the makeup. Everything else I need to do, and also need to ask Allah Ta'ala. So it wasn't as though you gave Allah Ta'ala His position, His esteem, His glory, He is the maker, He is the doer. Did we give him, and did we attribute to him, and did we identify with Allah Ta'ala as he's supposed to be identified? مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. We didn't recognize Allah Ta'ala as we ought to recognize him. So you respect him as you ought to respect him. He's a doer. Let's start off with him. Let's ask him first. And thereafter, whatever procedures he wants us to put in place, we'll put the procedures thereafter. But do we give Allah Ta'ala His respect? Do we give Him His esteem? Do we assign the type of glory, the type of esteem to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. Then in namaz, there are about three basic requirements. The first requirement is, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. See, wherever the Quran speaks about namaz, it speaks about establishing namaz. So the question will come about, then how do you establish namaz? Alright, this is an established business. There was a way how you establish the business, right? It's a practice that is established. So there was a way that it was established, right? So the question comes about, then how do you establish namaz? How do you get it straight? How do you get it right? So the Quran Sharif says you three procedures. You get these three procedures, inshallah, then you'll be establishing namaz. Because it's a solution to your problem, right? That solution has to be right, the procedure has to be right for it to work for you. That key has to be right for the key to open the door. Say, no, I got a key, but why is it not opening? But is the key right? You try 100 times, but it's not working. So you need to get the key right for that thing to do its work. And you didn't get the key right, and you said, no, I got the key, but why is it not opening? You're speaking a lie. You said, no, the key will work, it'll open the door. But is the key right? So, is the namaz right? So Allah Pak is asking about establishing namaz. And then He will see to your problems, He will see to your difficulties, your needs, your requirements, etc. He will see to it. But have you got your namaz right? You hear of incidents of the past, right? They made Salatul Istisqa, and before they can leave the Eidgah, or before they can leave the Salatul Istisqa, and they also already seen the rain. So it was namaz, and they saw everything getting done with namaz, with the key of namaz, they're seeing things done. So the first aspect in getting the namaz right, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. They're constant in the namaz. You're not a seasonal musalli. You're a regular musalli. Come the winter season, mashallah, now, labak, I'll read my fajr namaz. Come the summer season, labak, I'll see you at about 6 o'clock. Labak, no, you know, at 4:30, 4:15. Labak, you know it's difficult. So you know, you are Kareem Rabb, you know. Rabb Kareem. So you'll forgive. Because now you know also, you know, it's difficult to get up at 4:15 and get to the masjid. You know, to get to the masjid, when you're starting at 4:15, I need to get up at about 4:45 at least. Like wuzu, pisab pani, all that. And get into the state of namaz. It will take me at least about half an hour to do all that. So Allah Baki, Rabb Kareem, no, we'll see you at about 7 o'clock. Allah. Now you want your works to be done. You want the favors. You want some solutions to your problem. You want your boss to see you right. And when you want him to see, when you want him to see you right, he's asking you to come to the business at 7 o'clock and you're coming in at 9 o'clock and you're doing this regularly. And then you say, boss, I'm doing your work for you, but you're not seeing me right. How miserable don't you feel? You're not coming and then you want my favors. You feel so miserable for the person. Whereas your business cannot work without him. But Allah Pak's business and operation can work without you. He doesn't need you. You need Allah Ta'ala. And then you say, Allah Ta'ala, you know, just adjust the times. You're bringing the rosas now, and bring the rosas right to summer, but the rosas will be about 17 hours, 18 hours, right? Can't you just keep it only in winter all the time? You know, all the time we'll have 11 and a half hour rosa. Let's make it like all the year round we'll make rosa for you. Whenever you want us to make rosa, we'll make it for you. So as though Allah Ta'ala doesn't know what He's doing, you have to give Him some plan how to adjust the whole system. That's what you are saying. That He didn't know what He was doing. So today now in the 21st century you discovered that Allah Ta'ala needs some adjustments to His plan, to His program, and you come there to adjust the program. So throughout the year, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. They are constant in the salah, regular in the salah, they are punctual in the namaz. Come winter, come summer, come zuhur, asr, maghrib, whatever the time, but I'm there for my namaz. It's my duty. And then you can't claim a retribution or a remuneration for a duty. It's your duty, it's your faraz, you have to do it. For all the favors that you're enjoying, this is the minutest duty that you have to do. Get the namaz on time. Get the namaz, regular namaz. So throughout the year, it's not a seasonal thing. whether there is an emergency or not, but I am doing my namaz. No matter what, examination, business period, or it's a busy time, or it's I'm on holiday, whatever the circumstance, but that namaz I am regular on. Regular on my namaz. Umar radiallahu anhu used to be very disturbed with people if they sit around in circles and talk after Isha. He would be very upset. Right? And he would say to them, after Isha, asamaran ba'd al-Isha, wa nooman in the subh, the time of after Isha, then you are talking around, sitting around and talking around. And then when you need to get up, then you are sleeping. So he used to get very upset at this. He says, sleep on time. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْزَقُونَ قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ. Perhaps you will get up for tahajjud, because you step on time, a good time when in sleep. So now you got your tahajjud namaz as well. So the first aspect of namaz is doing the namaz regularly. It's not a seasonal musalli, it's a regular musalli. So as though the masjid is familiar with you, the malaika are familiar with your voice. Allah Ta'ala's record books are familiar with your name. The malaika are familiar, the masjid are familiar, his records are familiar. So when they see you, they will extend that type of hospitality. This voice is very familiar. We are very used to this type of a voice. We welcome this voice. We hear him all the time. You know, against a person who calls on Allah Ta'ala only at the time of need. He's coming to masjid, but only at the time of need. Here, you're a regular person. So this sound, this voice is very familiar. We recognize this voice. We identify with this voice. So the masjid identifies with you. The records of Allah Ta'ala identify with you. The malaika identify. Allah Ta'ala himself, with all his greatness and majesty, identifies that voice. That this is the voice that calls us throughout the year. This is the first aspect of namaz that will go into the establishing of namaz. The second requirement in namaz, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. They're not only regular in the salah, but they guard their salah as well. One is to be regular and punctual, and then number two is to be guarding the salah, taking care of the salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. They take care of the salah. Now in taking care of the salah, there's about four things that has to be done to get the namaz right, to take care of the namaz right. The first is to get the istinja right. Now if the istinja is not right, the clothing has been soiled, and then you're coming to perform namaz, then how do you expect Allah Ta'ala to accept this? Like you're offering someone a gift, right? And with that gift there is some urine there, or number two there, and you want him to accept that gift. So you're coming to offer a gift to Allah Ta'ala, but in a state of filthiness. Now you may ask, or how does that happen, that a person comes in a state of filthiness to Allah Ta'ala? What is a person who is excused, right? A mustahaza, right? Woman that is called mustahaza, right? She's bleeding all the time. So she's a mustahaza, she is an excused woman. Similarly, you may get incontinence, urine, etc. Someone has a problem. So he's an excused person. But apart from the person who's got incontinent urine, a woman that is bleeding irregularly, they are an excuse case. It's invalid. You're supposed to be taking care of yourself. Now, how do you take care of yourself? In istinja, then two basic things in this time. The one thing that is required in this time to get your istinja right is you avoid using the urinal, right? I mean, you're going to be using the urinal, standing and urinating. Then you just stood up, you urinated, and then you just zipped up again. Right? Now you just zipped up, so there is some urine left, some residue left in the passage. As you're going to move on, that residue is going to fall into your clothing. Right? And perhaps that residue will fall onto your clothing before wuzu. It will soil your clothing. And if the residue urine, it fell onto your clothing or onto your body after wuzu, then you're not in the state of wuzu then. Then your wuzu is not done, because the urine left your body after you have done wuzu. So you're not taking care of your salah. So the first step in the taking care of the salah is take care of your wuzu. The second problem that happens at the time of istinja, and we're not taking care of the namaz, it will amount to you not taking care of salah, is you are relieving yourself on a high pan, right? So when you're relieving yourself on a high pan, and the napaki, that filth, is going to splash onto your clothing, onto your body, right? Splashed on, you just put up your pants and straight you're darting for namaz. Now that napaki, that filth, has got onto your body. No matter what, whatever you try to do and whatever you try to say, but that filth has got onto your body, onto your clothing. Now you are in a state of filthiness and you want Allah Ta'ala to accept your namaz. How will that happen? Like I say, you gave someone a present and you put some number 2 there and said, no, accept this. You will feel embarrassed. Apart from that person being embarrassed, you will feel embarrassed that this has got filth. How can I present it? How can I offer it to him? And Allah Ta'ala knows everything. He knows the secrets. Everything that's going on. You can't cover up anything before Allah Ta'ala. So either you get the thing right, or use a loop and learn to use it. Everything comes with learning. You didn't know how to drive, so you learned, and you drove a car. You didn't remain like me. You learned, so you went on. But you know, driving is so hard, I'm failing, so I won't learn to drive. So you'll never learn to drive. You learned, and you'll get it right. I say, no, I don't know how to tie a turban, so I don't wear a turban. Those that are wearing a turban today, then they also didn't know how to tie it. They started, now they got the idea of how to turn the thing. So you will learn it and you will get it right. But why must you give up? Can't you make a small adjustment in the home? Get the toilet right. In the toilet, 2 things you have to observe nowadays. One is to make sure that it's a low pan, so that the napaki doesn't splash back. Unless an aged person, but he must be also careful how he's doing it. There are ways, if you find out, there are ways how you can get it right. Where there's a will, there's a way. Ask a businessman, he knows that this thing is selling. He will locate that thing from China or Japan. He knows this is selling. Somehow he'll source that thing out and he'll get it selling. So the same, you need to get the pan right, so that your pants don't go off, your clothing doesn't go off, and your body doesn't go off, get it right. So that's for an excused person, but otherwise the norm is, use the low pan. Use it, teach your children, teach everybody how to do it. Because you got your namaz wrong, now your child is going to get it wrong. And now you have left a legacy of napak namaz, of filthy namaz. And then you want that acceptance. Why my duas are not getting accepted? Because your namaz is filthy. It's covered with filth. And then you want Allah Pak to accept this. You're offering it to Allah Ta'ala in the state of filthiness. And you want Allah Ta'ala, the most pure, to accept this. Is this fair? So this is the second thing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had passed by some grave. Comes in Abu Dawud, comes in Bukhari Sharif. And he announced it. Yu'adhaban. Filahuma yu'adhaban. Both the inmates of the grave are being punished. Amma ahaduhuma fakana la yastanzihu min al-bowl. One person wasn't taking care of his urine, you see. Now, that taking care seemed like a small thing for us. But because of that, this person is catching in the grave. He just got into the grave, is already under punishment. You crying about your loss, and he is getting beaten up there. Is your crying right? He's getting beaten up there because he was not taking care of the urine. Amma ahaduhuma fakana la yastanzihu anil bowl. He wasn't taking care of that urine. But now, just to see the aesthetic of your house, make it beautiful, etc. So you got that high pan. In the meanwhile, the clothing are napak. In the meanwhile, the body is napak. In the meanwhile, the person that died went to the cupboard, he's catching it in the grave. So I ask you, was that a right investment? So the 2 things that have to be done in the toilet, one is to try and keep to the traditional low pan, and number 2 also try and ensure that it's not facing the Qibla, not the back to the Qibla, or not the front to the Qibla. Take these things here. What it will cost you? Most it will cost you 5-10,000 rand, But such a big investment, your namaz is getting done. Your wuzu is right. Your body is clean. Now we don't teach these things to the children. And then we'll say, no, but the child is not used to the high fan. Or he's not used to the low fan. But I tell you, all your grandfathers and everybody is doing it. How they got used to it? They learnt it also. When they learnt it, they got it, right? This high fan culture just came in now. Otherwise, nearly every home only had that low fan. This culture only came in now. And with what force it's coming, like as though it was always here and we couldn't have done without it. So, أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَنْزِهُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ. He wasn't careful about the urine. The second person, كَانَ يَمْشِي بِن نَمِيمَ. He will carry tails. Now, some people make this their business also. Idhar ki baat udhar, udhar ki baat idhar. Inside problems. Now, I have got some ill feelings against a certain person. I don't like him. So, I will carry tales about him. I have some old scores to settle. Now, those scores haven't yet been settled. Now, I know something fresh about him. So, let me carry tales about him so I can smash him down. See? So, carrying tales. Kana yamshi bin namima. Inciting trouble. Sometimes between the wife and the husband. Sometimes between friends. The hadith says it very clearly. Shiraru ibadillah. The worst people. Who are the worst people? Al mufarriquna bain al ahibba. Friends, now you break them up. Carry tales here, from here, there, inside, spur on, instigate. What do you get out of it? Do we get anything out of it? If there is a trouble, then وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. The Quranic injunction is try to bring about peace. But then we'll have one of two ways. We'll either instigate, spur up, incite one against the other, or if the person is a little bit better, what he will do, he will take some part, this part or the other part. Either we will resort to partialism, or we will resort to gossiping. One of the two, instigating gossiping. Now which group will try to bring them together? Reconcile, try and bring them, patch them up. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. Fighting, disputing, quarreling. What's your work? To smash this person down, to hit this person down, or to reconcile and to bring them together. What's your work? Whatever, whoever is doing, you ask, but what is my duty? He is doing this and that person is doing that. That doesn't just justify what you need to do. Or it doesn't justify what you are doing. Yes, what you need to do is, what am I to do in this whole case? I need to, as far as possible, hide the person's mistake. And together with hiding the person's mistake, try to bring about some peace. That is why the stories of the Buzurgan ad-Din, ulama of the past, are very important. Very, very important. Because when you look at them, they are very close to the hadith. Very, very close to the hadith. They will teach you, their practice, their behavior, their conduct will teach you hadith. One senior police officer, he comes over to Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, and he invites him, that I got some walima or something and I invite you. So the Sheikh knew him personally, and that level of corruption and bribery that he was involved in, right? So respectfully he excused himself, not to offend the person, but not to harm himself as well, because I know that his income is based on corruption and bribery. So bulk of his income is haram. So how can I accept this dawah? He declined respect. The police officer, what he did, he found out now who is Sheikh senior. So let me go to the senior, and then I'll use the senior to call the junior. So he found out the Sheikh's senior, went up to the senior and says to him, there's an invitation, I want to invite you, and you must bring Muli Zakaria al-Sawud, your murid, you must call him al-Sawud. Now look at it, how he's going to conduct himself. Now, police officer extends the invitation to Mohan Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Mohan Sahanpuri Sahib doesn't know, so he accepts the invitation of a Muslim. Right? Someone may ask, but why don't I come to invitations, right? Most of the invitations, I don't attend. The one person's invitation is in Marisburg, the other person is in Tongat. Now, the traveling, all that, the time that is taken, and then I have to impose on someone else. If someone has got the time, all that, for all these things, it's all right. But you don't have the time, you don't have the transport, all that. That is better, you just stay at home, you know, not in anybody's way. But if somewhere in Spingo now, it's all right. It's walking distance, you take the da'wah and come. But you won't hear the Sahaba Kiram now. One person is living in Makkah, Mukarrama, it's a walima, you must fly over to Madina to attend the walima and go back. Now, there's a walima invitation, you're flying over from Bombay to Durban, Durban to Bombay, just for the walima and coming back. But did you ever hear that happening? Those that were immediate, it was easy. Ad-deenu yusrun. When say deen is easy, this is what is meant. So what is easy, what is manageable, you invite that type of people. That person that you didn't invite, he won't take it personally. So anyway, now, when there is a situation, this is what we will do. We will incite, we will instigate, we will gossip, right? Or we will take part. He's right and that person is wrong. And now why do we become partial? We become partial because we have got a taluk with one person. We're friendly with one person. Because we are friendly with that one person, so whatever he says is right. The wrong also becomes right. And this person here, we're not in very good terms with him. So his good also is wrong. But now what is the hukam of the Quran? The hukam of the Quran is, in ta'ifatani minal mu'minina qtatalu fa aslihu bainahum. There's a quarrel, there's a fight, that you try and patch up the differences. That's your work. So you don't worry about their fight and whatever else is going on, but you look for a way how to patch the differences, how to reconcile, how to bring them together. Now I ask you, what percent of all people are doing this? Yeah, this is happening here, that's happening in Nizamuddin, that's happening here. But what did you try to reconcile? How did you try to bring it together? So فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. He is being punished because that was his business. تَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Like, we make it our business to get into this gossip, this type of talk, instigate, be partial, run one person down, smash the other person. And this type of thing will happen more with people that are in the same profession. Right? You are, for example, selling kurtas and he's selling kurtas. Yeah, but this person's kurtas are a little bit faulty, you know. But just be careful about him. So I'll run him down, try and run him down. Oh, that Maulana is coming up a little bit. Yeah, but you know that kitab of his, Mawzu Hadith, all, don't listen to that kitab. So now, either you're taking part, or either impartial, or either you're cutting tails, or either number four, it's because you are envious of the person, so smash him down. Break him. Somehow. Now see our mizaj, our mentality. And now this mentality compared to the mentality of the pious of the past, I ask you, are we in conformity? So that's the need for us to go with the past, pious of the past. So why would the Salaf as-Salihin? Because they were closer to the Sunnah. They understood it better than us. And we have gone in a different tangent altogether. We broke off the tangent complete. So the first thing in the perfection in the Salat, I said, is to see that you are regular in the Salah, and more especially in the changing of the seasons. Number two is to guard the Salah. And in the guarding of the Salah, the first thing is istinja. Get your istinja right. Istinja right and your wuzu right. So in the getting the wuzu right, there's about three things that we miss out. One is not to be wasting, not to be wasteful. Number two, to ensure that every limb is washed correctly, fully and correctly, right? So one is isbaghul wudu, one is israf, right? Number three, the third thing that is required is in the process of wudu, the respective du'as, bismillah, allahumma filli dhambi, wasi'li fi dari, barikli fi rizqi, the respective du'as that are at the time of wudu, we recite that as well. Now you got the wudu right, so one portion in the step of yuhafizun, وَالَّذِينَهُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِزُونَ. They guard their salah. So one aspect of guarding the salah is right. What you got, your wuzu right, your taharat right. The second thing in taking care or guarding the salah, you know, look at the word of the Quran. Allah salawatim yuhafizun. They guard the salah, they take care of the salah. So the second aspect in getting the salah right, or to guard the salah, is to ensure that you are performing the namaz in the right times. You guarding the salah. When you guarding the salah, then you ask yourself, right? You ask yourself, must I do the namaz at the time that I like, or the time that Allah Pak likes? You will work for your boss. You will go to his business at the time that you like, or at the time that the boss likes. You want to be seen favorably by the boss, right? So you go to his work, you go to the shop at the time that he likes or at the time that you like. Question is obvious. So you want to be favored by Allah Ta'ala, so you go at the time that he likes. As-salatu ala waqtiha. Okay, the namaz, and an easy thing, just ask yourself, repeatedly ask yourself, is this the time that Allah Pak likes and it's convenient for Allah Pak, or it's to my convenience? Your job, you are very particular about it, that I'm doing it at the time that my boss is happy. So, the king of all the bosses is Allah Pak. He is the king of all. So, this is his duty. When I'm accomplishing his duty, then am I doing it in the way that he likes? Number one, right? So, do it at the right time. Number two, do the postures right with itminan and i'tidal, right? Salli fa innaka lam tusalli. That hadith was at the time the person didn't do the postures with itminan, calmness, and with tranquility. Do it. All the postures, do it. Calm, composed, right? If your junior is speaking to you, your staff is speaking to you, then you want him to speak comfortably, calm, and composed. He mustn't just rush up and talk to you. You are talking to the court, then you talk in a dignified manner. You don't just rush. You don't just shout, in a dignified, respectable manner. And you're so concerned at that time that you will use even words that are of a doubtful nature, your worship. Just that he must look at my case favorably. But that words of a doubtful nature, you will use it there, your worship. Why are you worried now? What's going to happen? I have to go into jail. Well, I have to pay 1,000 rand fine. So the 1,000 rand fine is so much for us, that you make him your worship as well. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. So at the time that Allah Pak likes, with the postures that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, itminan, sukoon ke saath, right? Calm, composed. So the recitation is done in a calm way. The postures are done correctly. Now why won't Allah Pak accept that type of namaz? It's calm, composed. That's the second thing in the guarding of the salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. The third thing in guarding the salah is you come to the masjid, you take care of yourself, you come to the masjid, come calmly. عَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّكِينَ. Come calm, come composed. Don't come in a state of that three quarter of your mind is in the toilet and quarter of your mind is namaz. Now you want this namaz to go so that I can just go and relieve myself. I don't know when this namaz is going to end. We got a bri on, you know. This Imam Sahib needs to know we got a bri on and he's taking it so easy today. So come in a composed mind. Once we were sitting in Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and someone suggested to Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, it was a mashwara, we were traveling, so someone suggested, you know, that we'll perform namaz. Namaz padhenge, phir itminan ke saath hum khana khayenge. Now look at this word istihzar, how they see the hadith, the understanding of deen. He says, Musalman kab itminan ke saath khata hai? Aur kab itminan ke saath namaz nahi padhta? When does a Muslim eat with itminan? And when does a Muslim not perform namaz with itminan and sukoon, calmness and composure? See that immediate correction he brought about. What's supposed to be your mentality? In the bri, we spent a half an hour more, and we enjoyed our time. Imam Sahib, 2 minutes more, I don't know what's wrong with this Imam.
He knows just because we got our bribe, therefore he stressed the namaz. Deliberately he did this. See that? So itminan ke saath. Do that namaz, itminan. Calm. And you will get that enjoyment. Allah Pak will give you that enjoyment. Like you get that enjoyment with that bribe, Allah Pak will give you that enjoyment in your namaz. وَالَّذِينَهُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِمْ. So you came in with itminan. Then you occupied the first rows. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَىٰ الصَّفِّ الْأَوَّلِ. You want that special favor, so now you come into the front rows, right? You're so worried about the visas that you can go for a new renewal of the passport, but you want to be served first, right? But for all that, you are prepared to stand on the queue for 5 hours, right? But you want, your mind is there, you know, that one of the officers just sees you, must identify with you, and bring you right to the front, issue your passport and send you away. Right? Allah Pak is telling you that I will serve the people that are in the front row with my special favors. And you are sitting right back, leaning against the wall, as though you're showing an attitude to Allah. Allah Pak, you know you're going to give your special favors, but you can keep it. I'm alright. Serve these people here. I'm alright. I don't need your favors. Can a Muslim show that attitude to Allah Ta'ala? He's saying you, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى الصَّفِّ الْأَوَّلِ. Allah Ta'ala and His Malaika, they are blessing the front rows. So the front rows, right? In the front row, must remember, alright, sometimes there are senior people, ulama, buzurgana deen, let them be near the imam, let them be in the front row. Allama Shami Rahmat has brought about a special masala, that if you see a senior, then should you offer him the front serve and go in the back? So yes. A senior alim, buzurg, pious person, righteous, someone is giving leadership to deen, then Al-Mu'tamir Hamzai says, and that person that gave his place, he will not be deprived of sawab. Because he says, Addallu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi. Addallu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi. He says, who brought that elder into the front row? You brought him, you led him. So you won't be deprived. But now you saw he's a senior person, great person, and I need to show him the respect. So, for the respect that you showed him, so you're not going to be deprived. Your rewards are not going to be decreased in any way. On the one side, you've got the hukam, sari'u ila maghfiratin. But you've got this hukam also, that addallu ala al-khayr. Min ijlalillahi ta'ala, ta'azimu zishaybatil mu'min. To respect. So you saw an alim, you saw an aged person, a righteous person, and you gave him your place. So this is not in contrast. It doesn't go against the hadith, sari'u ila maghfiratin. So you come to the front row, and with all humility, coming in with all humility, ulaika ma kana lahum an yadkhuluha illa khaifin. So you come in with fear, with a feeling of respect, that I need to be served, Allah, I'm desperate, I need your help. See the frame of mind of the musalli as he's walking to the masjid, what must be the frame of his mind? Now, right to the masjid door, you're having the cigarette pull, or having a conversation, laughing and giggling and all that, and pulled into the masjid, can the frame of the mind be right? Ask yourself, will you ever have that type of a behavior as you're pulling into a courtroom? Concern now, you already, what must I say, if you ask this, how must I answer it, let's know my defense is right, if some buzu gave you one wazifa, you know, that wazifa, am I reading that wazifa or not, have I brought that number, you know, he said, must read, ya mujibu dua, I'm reading them, ya mujibu, have I got the tajweed right, everything you are doing, just to see that you come right in the court case. So have you done everything to see that you are in conformity with the plan of Allah Ta'ala? He just wants you to look after, take care. I gave you the gift of namaz on Mi'raj, but do you show it that type of respect that it requires? Or are you doing it casually, doing it now, how you want to be doing it? How are you doing it? So this is the second thing, the third thing in the guarding of the salah. Right? That you're doing your postures right, the time is right, your wuzu etc. is right. And one thing I have to add it from my own side nowadays, right? We have to educate, right? We have to educate people. People are coming into the masjid, tight pants, they're making ruku, sajda, the whole body showing out. Now I ask you, what would be the difference if you are wearing these tight pants, right? You covered your satr, but you're performing your namaz with your tight pants, right? The whole body, the shape, the contour of the private parts are showing out. And if a woman has to perform the namaz like that, will you say that her namaz is right? She's got a tight pants, she's covered the satr, but tight, the whole body is showing out. Everything is showing out. I ask you, will you say that namaz is valid? Whole body, body fit, she's got a body of body hugging. And she's performing namaz like that. I ask you, any person that is sensible in his mind, is that namaz valid? Will you allow her, if it was someone under you, will you allow her to perform namaz in that state? Then it's your satr, it's her satr. If the body needs to be covered in a clothing that doesn't show the contours, then that hukam, that law will apply to you and to her. Conveniently, now you say, no, hey, you must dress up in such a way that not of your body shows out. But me, as far as I'm concerned, only my satr, from the navel to the knee. It's alright, everything is showing out from the back or the front. It's alright if everything is showing out. So you're not looking after your salah, see. The namaz requires that you dress up decently, respectfully. I have to repeat these things here. And I thought it was a problem only now. Now it's become more distinct, but it was in the past as well. The Shaykh Hamzali, on page he writes, to main to kehta hun, to is tarah se chust kapre pehente, wo safre awal mein aakar ke na khade ho. People that are wearing this type of tight clothing, they mustn't come in the front rows. Because now everybody is seeing your back. Your back is showing. Everybody is seeing the contours of your private areas. Is that right type of clothing? If it's not right for a woman, then I can't see how can it be right for a man. If it's wrong for her, then it's wrong for you as well. Now, there's a different type of a justification. People, they justify things. I don't know how they justify, how they reason. So one person says, no, you know, not coming to the walima. Why? Because it's a mixed gathering, therefore not coming to the walima. So the other person says, no, you're a munafiq. Why you're a munafiq? Hey, heavy word that. Why you say munafiq? But you could go out to a restaurant to eat in a mixed crowd there. That was alright. But you can't come for this walima. See, the reasoning. Everybody must give his 2 cents. Must give his 2 cents. That's where they're confusing and corrupting the whole deen. Everybody wants to say, no, I can say also. He can say it, I can say it. Everybody can give his. So I answered that person. He came, he got walima now. He refused to go to the walima. Why? Because the mixed crowd. So I'm not going to the walima. So this type of a chit-chat he had with someone. That person said, no, you're munafiq. Why you munafiq? Because you go to a restaurant to eat there in a mixed gathering, but walima you can't eat. So I told him, see, the basis of the argument is not right. Why is not right? Because one wrong doesn't justify the other wrong. Using one wrong to justify the other wrong. This is wrong, that is also wrong. So you don't use one wrong to justify the other one. Right? Then I gave him an example. Alright. Some person, for example, did not perform his Zuhar namaz in the month of Ramadan. Will you say now, you know, if you didn't perform your Zuhar namaz, you mustn't keep roza also. One wrong was not to perform the namaz, the other wrong was not to keep the roza. Now because of one wrong namaz, you become a complete kafir now. Right, but I'm not a perfect mu'min, but I'm somewhere there at least, I'm keeping my fast at least, I'm keeping my roza at least. So, to justify the wrong of this wrong walima, now they have to bring out this type of a story as a support base. This is wrong, that is wrong. Allah give us the tawfiq to leave that wrong out as well. But we will remain on this. At least I am doing this much. I am not doing 100%, at least I am doing 70%, 80% I am doing. But don't justify that. Legitimize, justify, try and fight. Get the upper hand in your argument, in your reasoning. I leave all this thing here. Come right. Am I doing the thing right? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. You see how people's reasoning are going. Everybody wants to apply his own reasoning and prove to it that, prove it that I am right. What is right? Right is somewhere else. So for this type of namaz, when you got it now, you got the وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. They're punctual. Number two, they're taking care of the namaz, right? The third aspect that is contained in the Quran Sharif, هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They have got khushu in the namaz as well. Now, what is the meaning of khushu? But the right thing is, look into the Quran, look into the Hadith, look into the aqwal of the self to get the right meanings. Hans Wahar is not a Muslim, he's a kafir, right? So you can't use Hans Wahar now, say, alright, he said this, so this is the meaning. What kafir kya janta hai? Humare deen ki baate, Hans Wahar kya janta hai? Wo to apne istinja karna janta nahi. That's how clean his backside, where is he going to teach you your deen? Can you use him? He's not an authority in deen. So look at what the self had to say about khushu. Now look at the Quran Sharif, right? تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعَةً فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ. So, اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ is against khushu. So that means if you don't have اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ, then you've got khushu. Right? تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعَةً فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ. اهْتَزَّتْ, when the earth was still, right, everything was dry, was still, then when we send down the rains, then there was a movement. Don't you see crops, a movement. The movement came after the rains. So that means khushu, one of the requirement of khushu is the mind must be still. Because you got the postures, right, that was the outer dimension. Now the mind must be still. The mind mustn't be running around everywhere. The mind must be calm, composed in the work that you are doing. Like the earth is still, now the mind must be still at that time. It mustn't be running around. إِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلِيهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ. The second thing in that khushu, the second aspect of khushu, وَرَبَتْ. Right? وَرَبَتْ, in other words, it swells, right? Everything was dry, it was still, it was calm. So when we send down the rains, then the earth became active, there was movement. And there was a swell. So the swell of pride and arrogance mustn't be in you. In other words, now there must be humility. So the opposite of khushu will be movement and a swell of pride and arrogance. So then khushu will require these two basic requirements. One is the mind must be calm and composed in the work that you are doing. It's not running around. And there must be this feature of humility. You've got that humility and the mind is calm and composed, focused towards the namaz. Now you say, at least you got a good degree of, you got a good degree of khushu. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. See, like I say, that everything has a key, that it has a solution, right? The key to namaz is wuzu. Then the key to jannat is namaz. Bring the key and you will get the passage. But you brought the wrong key. How do you expect to get a gateway? How do you expect to get an access to Jannah? You couldn't get into namaz without the wuzu. You got the wuzu right, you got into namaz. You got the namaz right, you got into Jannah. But the namaz got these three basic procedures. You concentrate in the namaz, you guard and you take care of your namaz. And number three, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They have got the aspect of khushu in the namaz. They humble, they calm, they focus in what they are doing now. The mind is not running around everywhere. They focus in that. So now you got that khushu. But one question will come up now. How you bring about that khushu? Because the mind is about the most unique creation of Allah Ta'ala. I think, I can't imagine of anything that's more unique than the mind. And more unique than the human mind. Because in a single second, it can take you right around the world and bring you back. Take you for Umrah, I'm going for the passports, then I've gone for Umrah, going to Medina, then after that I went to the third haram, and back I'm still in the namaz. In 1 second it'll take you three harams ride. See how fast the mind can work. Now, that's the human mind. Allah gave that ability to the mind. It can work so much. So much of activity in the mind. But now, how to get that focus and that calmness of the mind? So the focus and the calmness of the mind will be that you engage the mind into a certain thought. You absorb it. When you absorb it in a certain one thought, then it's difficult for you to go into another thought, right? Because of the qaida, an-nafsu la yatawajjahu fi shay'in ila shay'in fi ani wahidin. At one and the same time, you can't be thinking balanced about two different things. You got your mind fully in my business, how much do this operation? I need to buy these candies for the sale, right? This candy, so your mind is absorbed in that. Around that time, exactly around that time, you can't think about the birthday party that you're going to have. Your mind is fully absorbed, then you can't be thinking about that. It's either on this or either in the birthday party. One of the two things will happen. But to be balanced completely in one thought or in two different thoughts at the same time, that's not possible. So now you need to engage the mind in a thought where it will not hop around. So the hadith says, Salli salata muwaddi'in. Right? Perform the namaz of a person who's leaving the world. Right? And you know, hey, next namaz, it's my last chance to perform my namaz. Right? Let's imagine now you're going for an open heart surgery. Right? Sometimes it happens that you don't wake up after it. Right? Don't you hear that? The doctor passed away. He went for the surgery. He got up, but then he went away. You may not get a chance after that. You may not get a chance. You went, and you went for good. So it's one chance you got, one chance to perform namaz. You do not know that you will get another chance. Once I'm talking, I gave four reasons for reading namaz, you know, four hajat, four of your needs Allah Ta'ala will fulfill. But it's coming to my mind, even a person is on the death row, you know, for him to request that he be given the chance to perform namaz also sunnah. As Khubayb radiallahu anhu, he was being executed by the Quraysh, right? So he requested that give me a chance to perform two rakat namaz. See that on the death row, before dying, give me a chance for what? For eating Cadbury chocolate. Huh? For what? The last sip. No, not the last sip, two rakat namaz. So now you have to engage the mind into a thought. So the easiest thought to get your mind absorbed, that perhaps this is the last chance, I may not get a chance again. Mind will want to run around, because the mind, that's the work of the mind, wants to run around, active. It doesn't want to get stuck into one thought. So now absorb it into this thought here, last chance, last namaz, last chance, maybe I don't. The mind will run away, bring it back. Hey, I don't know, just now we performed his janaza namaz, I don't know, they may just perform my janaza namaz just now. Just now I gave that person ghusl. Just now someone will come and give me ghusl just now. We put kafan for that person. They'll put kafan for me just now. They put attar for that person when they were giving the ghusl and all that. They put attar for me just now. So my mind is stuck in that. When you stuck in that thought, then it's hard to leave that thought. That thought stays. Maybe my last chance. Maybe just do everything properly. I may not get a chance to perform another namaz. Maybe this namaz may be a kafara for all my gunas. You know? Can't it be possible? You ask Allah Ta'ala, and you're sincere about it. Maybe this two rakats that I'm offering, it may be an atonement. It may be a means of forgiveness of all my gunas. So let me just do it correctly. I may not get a chance again. So you see how to get that khushu right, to absorb the thought into, to absorb the mind into one thought. When your mind is absorbed, your mind will be calm, will be composed, will not be running around. Right? So that's the khushu. Right? And before the khushu, I said, you're guarding the salah. And before guarding the salah, you were constant in the salah. Right? So all these things you have got, now Allah will say, now I've accepted your namaz. Now, your namaz is accepted. We like to see you in the masjid. So when you come into the masjid, right, your namaz has got a different flavor for you as well as for the other people. You are a motivation for yourself. For yourself it's a motivation. It's the coolness of your eyes. Qurratu ayni fi salah. Others are getting coolness of the eyes in different things, in the technology, etc. Now you will get much more coolness and much more comfort in the namaz that you are performing. What a perfect solution for our problems, namaz. Get the namaz right. One thing at least we carry home. We do it, we encourage our children, people that are coming under our influence, or people that are in our business, but we try it. We start it off, we try it out. Allah bak tawfiq naseeb kare.